Hello, everybody, and welcome finally back to another episode of the Ultra Nerd Podcast. Now, for many of you who were wondering, like, what the hell? You were gone for so long, almost a month gone. You didn't write, and you didn't call, and you didn't post a new episode. What the hell, man? And I want to say sorry. At this point right now, for me, college is pretty much like the definition of getting hit by three freight trains all at once. Like, it's all coming at me, right? So, besides just that, I also have other things coming up with, like, final exams. I also have work to do. I also have to do things for work I have to look into as well. So there's that. And not only that, later on, I also have to look for another job over the summer. And I also have a summer class that's somewhat only one, though, but still, they'll need to get in attention with that as well. So there are a couple things I do want to address before I continue on. First things first is changing the Yu-Gi-Oh! Episodes I did from Yu-Gi-Oh! Archetypes to card game archetypes. Because besides just targeting Yu-Gi-Oh! Cards specifically, I'm planning on covering certain key types of decks in card games like Magic the Gathering, and go for a couple of history lessons from the now deceased card game Buddy Fight, and maybe some others if I ever get the chance. And not only that, since next... I lost my train of thought. Seeing how I'm almost free for this coming up summer, I am planning on doing some more research for both the long-awaited War Machine and Hordes episode, along with the Age of Sigmar episode as well. So stay tuned for that, but let's get into the episode, shall we? So today's episode was really, 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 really long overdue. And it was originally supposed to be in response to the downtrot of games from both Cyberpunk 2077 and the Avengers Marvel game as well, or vice versa, Marvel's Avengers game. And honestly, we haven't seen anything bad like this, well, suffice to say, for a while now. Now, I'm not saying that this isn't the first time that these two games have happened, but it certainly isn't the last time. I mean, words can describe a plethora of bad games a lot of people interviewed or reviewed on social media, things like on YouTube or like others before. And not only that, they also talked about how bad these games are. A lot of people probably experienced these bad games. But for games like Marvel's Avengers and Cyberpunk 2077 is a big downfall. And I'm going to talk about another game that I really didn't want to talk about next, called Balan's Wonderworld, because the internet's probably already destroyed it at that point. But I do want to give my own ideas, thoughts, and opinions about it. But let's start with, like, these other two first before I get into that one, okay? So let's start with Cyberpunk 2077, okay? So, at first, when I first saw the trailer for it, I'm, like, thinking to myself, like, holy smokes, this game is so cool. You could either become the villain in this world, or you could probably be the hero in this world, and that's really interesting. Like, you could either have, like, these cyberpunk-style headgear going around, busting crime, busting illegal or something else like that, illegal cybernetic shops, or, like, you could become the big boss yourself. Like, that's what I thought, too, right? Now, what I also remember seeing a while ago about the game was, I could have sworn, but I might be wrong, where someone actually did post footage of the game where you're basically walking around in this like cyberpunk style area and basically shooting these like I want to call spider bots basically, and then you fight a boss that's a giant cybernetic monster of some kind. And once I heard the game was delayed, I'm like thinking to myself, well, what to do now? And when I think it was somewhere back in either 2019 or 2018 when the game was delayed again, or like showed a quote gameplay footage, I was stunned to see what I was looking at. where it introduced, like, different ideas of what you could be able to do for your main character, of the abilities that you could upgrade and buy, and, like, the animation, like, if you know what I'm talking about, that was pretty gut-wrenching. But anyway, after finally getting the final product, after, how long was it? It was first shown in 2013, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Or, I originally thought 2011, but no, it was 2013, the teaser trailer. After 8 years, we get a buggy, poorly put together mess. And it's like, well, why would you make something for 8 years? Or, like, ask yourself, where did the budget go? Where did you even have time for it? I remember seeing gameplay footage from, like, Oni Plays, and I'm, like, thinking to myself, like, why is the frame rates constantly dropping from the game? It's, like, it is so bad. It is really bad. I mean, the idea is spot on, without a doubt. I mean, Keanu Reeves is also in the game. I mean, without him, it will probably be, like, a dumpster fire, besides the fact that it's already a dumpster fire than it already is. But not only that, I feel as if the game play, it's all right, suffice to say. That's all. It's an all right gameplay style. I mean, you can unlock different weaponry, you can collect Keanu Reeves in the game's own gun, you can get a gun named Skippy, which is a AI bullet, I wish I was joking, or you could also get, like, these awesome mantis claws for either free by stealing them off some guy, or by buying them legit. But it's probably best to get them early on. But I haven't seen the story yet, but it's basically where I think you find this type of microchip, put it into your head, and then you realize that the microchip might screw you over later in the future. But it is really buggy. It is really buggy. Like, people are going into floors, people are flying, things are disappearing, cars are flying. As funny as it is, I would admit it would be very annoying to constantly deal with it. Now, they originally supposed to make it for PC. Now, I don't know if this is true or not, but PC owners might have not experienced these types of things in the game, like glitches, bugs, and so on. However, for a lot of people who owned, like, consoles like I do, or, like, owned the newer gen consoles for that matter, might experience these types of buggy glitches. But I honestly don't know what the company has been doing for the last 8 years, and if this is their final product, it's a big disappointment. 8 years down the drain. I mean, they have really good ideas. I mean, there's, like, these different types of clans in the game. There's like this psychotic clan where they have like body horror themed cyberpunk implants. Like, I remember seeing it in a commercial for the game, like, you see, like, this one guy with just his mouth, but he has, like, this big-ass camera, like, face to him. It was badass. It was gross, yes, but it was also badass. It was like something that could happen in the real world, if possible, however. But not only that, it was also, like, this other clan where it was, like, very, like, I want to say honorable mob boss. Like, they would probably protect you, but they would also do it for a fee. But they do have a sense of honor, I would say. And there was, like, this other clan where they're basically, like, in the shadows, right? And they do things, like, on the grid, like, Matrix-style shit. And that's awesome, but it's like, why would you show us all this cool, awesome shit? Where the next thing I know, the guy that I'm trying to fight that's firing at me is flying in 5 feet in midair. Like, what the hell? But let's take a break from Cyberpunk, because probably a lot of people before me up to this point probably already beat up to a point where I'm just beating a dead horse, right? But let's talk about Marvel's Avengers. And from what I have to say, how the hell did Square Enix screw it up? Now, suffice to say, I'm not saying that there is any other good superhero game out there. I mean, there are some good superhero games, without a doubt, and there's also, like, the bad ones. Like, the good ones are, like, I want to say that the Hulk's first video game was good, in my opinion. I remember playing it for a while ago when I was, like, just 5 or 6, maybe, but I don't remember anything else from it. Spider-Man 2, top tier. Top tier game, without a doubt. And for some of the bad ones, like, I would honestly say the first Superman game where you basically just fly in midair and that's it. Nothing else. You just fly through rings and fly through hoops. But those were finished products, at least. But I honestly tried to look it up for myself and seeing what the budget was for Marvel's Avengers. I couldn't find it, unfortunately. But seeing the gameplay in different viewpoints from, like, Oni Plays to another YouTuber and to other YouTubers, it's like, where did the budget go to? And after seeing some other gameplay footages from, once again, Oni Plays, it feels like they mostly put a lot of the budget into the cutscenes. I mean, I feel as if that might have been because, like, the game is a buggy mess. And not only that, it's really despicable from Square Enix's part. And I was honestly shocked to hear that this was coming from Square Enix. The same people who arguably made one of, if not the best, Kingdom Hearts games of all time. And that's coming from me, too. And not only, like, the game is terrible, without a doubt. Like, there are reused assets in multiple different occasions. And not only that, what's even more sleazy to hear, that in one of the patches, when they were introducing Hawkeye, they lowered the amount of time and effort you would put into when it comes to leveling up a character. Now, in other aspects, when I was talking to one of my friends, and let me nickname him just so I can protect his identity. Let's nickname him, The Man with the Plan, right? So, The Man with the Plan and I were having lunch, and he was actually telling me about the game, and he actually had a bad time with it too. Now, I don't know if this is true or not, but from his perspective, he told me that there was also a season pass tree for each of the characters. But you also would have to buy each of these separate passes for each of the characters. And it's like, then why bother having a season pass if you can only buy one? If you're only going to use it for one of the characters. And not only that, by the time they finally release Hawkeye after buggy messes, they, like, slightly patched some of the issues. Whereas, like, they basically put a small band-aid over a leaking dam. That's the issue. Like, they patched the one issue, but they still need to patch and fix all the other issues. Like, there's some structural damage, there are still more cracks and holes leaking out, and there's currently a bigger one spewing out water that they need to get to, right? Now, let me bring up 3 other games that were absolute crap at one point. Destiny, absolute crap. Six hours, that's something different. Rainbow Six Siege, I meant to say. Crap. And No Man's Sky. Freaking No Man's Sky. Absolute crap. All 3 of them. But do you know what they did? But do you know what those 3 games have in common? They got back up on their feet. They psyched themselves up. They smacked themselves with the encouragement on the back of their bottoms. And they said, we gave a damn about this game. And they changed it. They made the games better. Is there still issues in the games? Yes, absolutely. But it's far better now than they previously were. But, like, some of the other things that Marvel's Avengers are doing right now, they're just basically using reused assets. What they're doing right now is basically doing stuff that should have been in the game from the beginning. Not, like, right away, or like yesterday, or the next day, or next month. And it's absolutely stupid. I'm absolutely confounded that a lot of people might defend this game and say that it's good. that they are willing to get more spit in the eye from the developers that probably gave zero shits about the game and would still be like, oh yeah, yeah, please still throw some more money at us while you're at it too, after you're booing at us. And it is honestly disappointing, because it's like the Doom movie. It's like, you have a good concept, but it's like, how do you mess it up? The first one, not the one on Netflix, though. And not only that, from what I heard in one of the other issues is, which is like transportation when you're on like patrol-ish missions. Now, a lot of the characters can fly. But if you don't have a character that could fly, you're basically being like Skyrim and have to constantly keep jumping until you finally get to a destination. You have no other forms of transportation. And that's like the other thing too, is where they finally released Hawkeye, they released one of the more questionable villains in the game, Monstro. Not anyone else, not any other Marvel villain. Or, hell, not any other hero that could actually team up with us that we haven't seen or heard from. Like, the Marvel Universe is big. From the X-Men, to the Avengers, to this, to that. I'm pretty sure there's superheroes we never even heard of, or even supervillains we never even heard of from the Marvel Universe, without a doubt, in my mind. But when you have such a big concept to use and think so little, a lot of people are not going to like some of these changes. Now, I do want to buy my... One sec, I'm killing my throat here. Gonna take a sip of water really quick. But, like, the thing is, I want to bite my tongue is, that there are some games that are praised for their silliness, for their wackiness, for their questionability, and I'm talking about, like, games like Skyrim and Payday 2. For Skyrim, it honestly did have its own issues, but it was like a funny issue though. Like, if you're fighting a giant and the giant one-shots you, your character is literally rocketed into orbit. And next thing you know, when you're fighting a boss or a dragon that wants to clamber down on your head, you basically pause the game and basically somehow, I don't know how, but basically eat 20 wheels of cheese, 10 shards of glass, dragon's bone, a couple of drugs, potentially 20 baskets, and even your own weapons and armor if you want to be more specific, and still keep fighting. Those types of games, or I forgot to bring up Payday 2. With Payday 2, however, it does have its own bugs and it does have its own glitches, without a doubt. But what it has to offer is just charm, I would say. I mean, you have different characters to play with, you have different builds to go with, either how Russian Badger, best way to sum it, a 400-pound walking piece of tungsten, or a walking gorilla, or basically a dodge build. Everyone chooses the dodge build. And not only that, there are so many different other perks you could choose from. You could customize your own damn mask, and that is more entertaining than watching some one of your enemies try to fight you while they're basically a mess on the floor and basically flying around the sky around you, or your frame rate's constantly dropping. Those games are praised by their wackiness and their glitchiness. However, for these two hype games like Marvel's Avengers and Cyberpunk 2077, I do feel like we have that expectation that these games are going to be good, that these games would be taken care of, and that these games would have the audacity to show for it for all these years. Whereas, like, one sec, what was Marvel's Avengers release date? Just this month, 1 year ago, and the game is still a bloody mess. And it's like, what the hell are they doing? What are they doing? Now, again, this is coming from Square Enix. I mean, if this was coming from Activision or EA, I mean, that's basically nothing new to me. I'm aware that Square Enix has released some party-pooping, oopsie-doopsie games in their past. I mean, that's natural. But a game like this, where it's basically a spin in the eye of their player base, that's honestly sleazy, even on their part. But again, as I was trying to say, is if it was coming from Activision or EA, well, that's nothing new. You're basically saying something that we already know. But again, not Activision, it's Square Enix. The people from Final Fantasy 15, the people behind Final Fantasy 7 Remake. Kingdom Frickin' Hearts 3 had the audacity to publish this game. Now, let me just quench my dying throat for a sec, and I'll get into Valiant Wonderworld, and, well, I'll probably give it a break for a sec and go into Fallout 76, but I'll see you guys then. And we're back. We are back, folks. So, let's talk about Fallout 76. Now, I actually did have some high hopes for the game before. Now, granted, the only game I ever played that was from the Fallout games entirely was Fallout 4. But I have seen some other gameplay footage and seen some other games from the Fallout franchise entirely. And I thought to myself, a survival game for Fallout, where you could basically play on a multiplayer with your friends, is something completely new. I mean, games like Rust have done something similar. Games like there are a couple of other zombie games out there that basically done this idea. It was the one where they made a King of the Hill idea from it. I can't remember the correct name of it specifically, but there are a couple, without a doubt. But not only that, sadly, the game did have some moments to it. Like, they showed us a couple of things to the gameplay. Like, they showed us small features, they showed us small things, and I can't remember the correct company. I think it is Bethesda. But besides that, they did show us a small glimpse of what the game might be, and they introduced this little system known as, like, this little card system, right? And it's where basically you have, like, these different cards, and each of them are a different perk, and each of them could support one of your skills, like either luck, endurance, perception, speech, strength. There's a couple of more. I can't remember. What else was there right now? But I do know that they basically done this entire idea off of the game, where it was like a card system, right? A card theme system. So it's something similar to like a mobile game, you could say. But not only that, after we finally got the game, it was disastrous. It was a piece of work. It was a piece of art. It was a bloody, bloody, bloody mess. And it's like, Bethesda, what the hell have you been smoking? And they're just going to say to us and be like, oh, don't worry, it just works. Somehow. The game just works, somehow. But I feel as if this idea was perfect. I mean, like I said, we had other Fallout games before. I mean, we had a ton of first-person shooters. We had one where it was like a Diablo-style overhead, where you basically had a point-and-click adventures. And there was basically other bad ones out there that I can't think of at the moment. But this was an idea that could have broke the mold for Fallout entirely. I mean, it introduces new areas, it introduced us to new enemies, introduced us to, like, new places that we can learn from, and it could have worked in their heads. But it didn't work on the consoles. I mean, enemies were basically statues sometimes, not all the time. Some areas were featuring bugs and glitches to a point where the game's unplayable. I think there were a lot of server issues as well. But not only that, with PvP, it's another story. Because, like, someone could have like a really overpowered weapon, and it's not like traditional games like Rust or Ark or so on and so forth, that basically you could just like kill someone, steal their shit, and go like some dastardly villain who pants ya. No, you have to have them accept your fight, and then you could beat them up, steal their shit, and then run away like dastardly villain going It does have a balancing issue when it comes to these fights, though, because like one player could be like decked out in power armor, have the best stats, best cards, and has like, I don't know, 25 fat men ready to fire at their mark at you, and you could probably have a stick. Like, you're a new player, you have a stick, somewhat good weapons and gear, and you just have a stick to fight back. Who's gonna win in that scenario? And it is more sleazy, I would say, on Bethesda's part. It is Bethesda. I just remembered it because I'm a dingus. And it is sleazy for their part to release a game like this and not actually give it the support it deserves. To actually not put in the time. To actually not put in the effort. To not delay the object. But to some people, that might be a sign of failure sometimes. I mean, I remember hearing a lot of people saying that ever since Anthem was delayed, people were speculating that it's gonna turn up bad. Well, sometimes that, on Anthem's part now, that speculation may come up truer than I originally thought. But the game had it all. It had the bugs, it had the glitches, it had the server issues, it had this, it had that. It had a crap ton of issues. But I really want to talk about one other game. That's the last game I do want to talk about that I really was disappointed after seeing the reviews and gameplay footage for myself. And that is Balan's Wonderworld. Now, Balan's Wonderworld was first teased back in 2020, I think. I can't remember the specific date, but I do remember it was specifically 2020. And it sounded interesting. It was absolutely amazing. The characters, amazing. The idea, amazing. And this game was supposed to be a successor to Night Into the Dreams. Now, granted, I haven't played the game before, but I have heard of it and seen it, and it was like, that was amazing. It's crazy to think about. I mean, the main character, Balan, has his style of Night. It has so many references to the series. It's amazing. But the final product, I kind of wish I would say the same. But we sadly can't have everything, right? Now, however, though, as for directing designs, the person behind the Sega Sonic games, Yuji Naka, I think I pronounced his name correctly, but I might have butchered it, was the one in charge of directing the games, and he was working for Square Enix. Now, that's kind of great. I mean, the guy who designed Sonic and helped with the Sonic franchise games, I mean, he might still have a few tricks up his sleeve to make a game great, as so I thought. But unfortunately, the only thing that it is good at, is looks. I mean, let me just say one thing. Everything is freaking beautiful in the game. The characters, top tier. The boss designs, top tier. The little character designs that you wear as costumes, top tier. The normal human designs, top tier. Balan, top tier. The animation, freaking top tier. And it's, like, to me, it's so great to see animation like that, where it shows that it doesn't matter how 3D things could get, it could still have that cartoony, stretchy, fun aspect in it. And it doesn't need to be like Last of Us 2, where there has to be like two mocap characters fighting it out. But not only that, that sadly didn't save the game. Now, what is Balan? Balan is a platforming game, suffice to say. But not only that, from what I heard, basically all the buttons that you would do for like example, if you're playing on Xbox or like X, Y, B, and A, and even the trigger buttons, those are all jumps. If you're playing on PC, all the buttons you would use for PC games, also all jumps. PS4, all jumps. For Switch, say it with me now, all jumps. Now, I don't know why, but I'm guessing it's probably to target a... No, I'm saying that, no, I'm gonna bite my tongue for a sec. I did remember seeing a couple of YouTube reviews about the game, and it said that the simplicity and the button placement, it was meant to target kids. This game was meant for kids. Now, even though this game is meant for kids, that doesn't mean that's stopping me from trying to play it. I mean, people still played Animal Crossing New Leaf, and that was kind of meant for kids in a way. And you don't see them complaining now, do ya? We will bring that game up again shortly after, but let's get out to some other issues the game had. Like, the levels were very simple designed. I mean, they had some great ideas to them. I mean, each of the levels are based off of some characters in the game's traumatic events. And not only that, they only show two cutscenes. They show a cutscene what caused this traumatic event, and this cutscene that showed them after this traumatic event. Now, from one YouTuber specifically that I remember seeing another review off of by the name of... Now, I can't remember his name, but I do know who I'm talking about. L.S. Mark. L.S. Mark made an interesting point from his perspective and what he could have done to help this whole narrative of what these characters were struggling through could have been, that the levels could have slowly morphed into a more nightmarish tone rather than all hamby-pamby, jumpy-jumpy, everyone's happy and dancing kind of tone, right? I mean, that could have worked so much better, and that could have drove the narrative as well of what these characters were experiencing and going through. But not only that, I feel as if the bosses as well were not that very good either. Only down in 3 hits. But there is a reason for that, and that's for the costumes. Now, there is over 80 costumes in the game. Whereas some of them are situational on rare occasions, others basically have the exact same ability as another character costume, I should say, where they have their own unique ability, and there's some that are basically good and bad in different ways. However, the stupid thing that I saw from gameplay footage is that you need to find these keys to unlock these types of gems that have these costumes, right? Now, what doesn't make any sense to me is, like, who was the one who placed these keys, because they could be literally 5 feet away from the crystal, or they could be literally right next to it on the first level. Now, I can understand, but it's like with some abilities, the first two, where you could basically jump and do like a spinning attack, and another one you could do a jump and basically do like a butt slam, I'll call it. Now, this butt slam was repeated again for, like, a robot costume, and it's like, the director basically chose quantity over quality, because the idea is out there, but it could have, like, been, he should have done it, or, like, the game should have had a different release date, probably next year, so, like, say, almost near 2022, or like somewhere down the line of this year. And it could have been delay, but probably a delay could have not helped the game out that much, sadly. But like, what about the other aspects? Like, sometimes in other areas, So, remember the whole Shabia where I said all the buttons are basically the same button, right? Now, if you put that type of idea in a jumping aspect where all those buttons are in the same position as the same command and give them a costume that gives you a power-up, like, say, all you could do is just, like, shoot lasers from your eyes, for example, you're going to have a difficult time jumping from platform to platform. Because the stupid thing is, I feel as if it could have been good. No. But what I mean is, the game didn't have the aspect of just having several different separate buttons to go from. Whereas all the buttons are the same, if you would try to do an action with a costume on, you're repeat to do that same action with all the other buttons. You can't jump unless if you have an ability that allows you to jump, or if you're basically at your normal state, and you can't get rid of your costumes unless if you're hit 3 times. But not only that, you're only limited to 3 separate costumes. So this means if you want have a costume that you don't need, it basically, or if you need a costume that you need and you have a couple of costumes that you don't want, you basically have to go find the key, you have to get to the costume, and you have to make sure to basically switch out quickly to the costume that you don't want, and it will replace it. However, this might be like all of a sudden, because you might be like trying to do other things, you might be trying to find some other parts, you might try to find like these little Balan trophies to find as well. And it could be like all up in the moment. But the game also had multiple other issues. Like, for example, one of the issues, if we go back to like these characters that experience these traumatic events, all their bios and whatnots are on the Twitter page and on a book that I heard as of recording. And it's like, I wish I could have figured that out in the game. Now let's take another game, for example, that basically does more show than them tell, which was Dark Souls. Now, Dark Souls is completely different. It already is kind of in mystery, but the whole point is basically doing your own theories and process of elimination and your own ideas and other things that I can't think of right now through the form of, like I said, conductive reasoning, conductive process of elimination, and through reading of different items. Like, there are a crap ton of different videos of stories telling about the Dark about the Dark Souls world, and it basically tells you the theories. Like, Vahi, YouTuber, all-star, basically tells us a lot about this, and he's a really good YouTuber, without a doubt in my mind. And not only that, it's like, again, I wish I could have known these characters more if the game could have told me and not just let me buy a book or like see it on the on their Twitter page. And that's also not the only thing that's adding salt onto the wound. Oh, no. What, from what I heard, sadly, and what's surprisingly to hear, that the final boss of the game was prone to photosensitive epilepsies. I think I pronounced that correctly. So, meaning, the game could cause seizures, and that is never a good thing. And they had to literally make a post for a day one patch about that said seizure warning. And it's like, okay, maybe you could have done that, or if the person could have bought the game and not download it, then someone's going to have a lawsuit on their hands. And that's not even that either. If we, just as quick, if we go back to the costumes and the bosses, I mean, like, they have the idea. I mean, the idea of what they wanted to show was there, but it's like, for some of the bosses, it's pretty much like a 3-hit KO. I mean, I feel as if they could have made them more in depths, like have separate to a point where the bosses are starting to get more frustrated with you and eventually start getting more aggressive with their attacks and change up their patterns, where they could basically almost feel like they're outsmarting you in different ways. But not only that, but if we go back to the other issues that Balan had, that might have also, from what I heard on an article, that they might have copyrighted a song or music from Ghostbusters. Another not good thing to hear about. Now, you may be saying to yourself, okay, that is an issue. That is an issue, without a doubt. But there's gotta be, like, other things to bring up, right? I mean, what were the sales? I'm glad you ask. Sadly, Balan only sold over 2,000 copies in Japan. Now, I don't know the exact number, like how many were sold in America, but 2,000 copies. This, my friends, is not the best thing. This is not a good thing. This is beyond good. This is literally sad. I mean, I was thinking of it today when I was planning on doing this episode, and I looked up what was the Avengers game sold. 3 mil. Now, that might not be as good, but still, 3 million games sold. Now, what about Animal Crossing? I brought up Animal Crossing New Horizon. Within 9 months, Animal Crossing New Horizon sold over 30 million copies of the game within 9 months. That is insane. And whereas Balan only didn't even broke top 30s. That this is sad to me, because this game, it looks beautiful. It is beautiful. I said so many, besides the character designs that I mentioned, the game looks like it should have worked. But sadly, we can't always have the things that we want, right? I mean, that's what this game wasn't meant for. This game wasn't meant for kids. I mean, with its simplistic designs, its cartoony nature to it, and its simplicity in levels, it was meant for kids. But, like, that's the other thing, too. Like, a lot of issues I feel stem that the game has is with directing. Now, the man himself, I can't remember his name, but the director behind Balan, he worked on Sonic and Knight. Now, Sonic was basically a blue hedgehog stopping an evil scientist from experimenting on animals, right? Simple as that. Knight needs the help of two kids to fix the... needs two kids to help fix the dream world while also fixing themselves in the process. Simple as that, right? Balan Wonderworld, however, is a little bit more complex, and they, again, tells us in a book. Kind of wish the game could have told us that to begin with rather than a book. But not only that, he was the guy behind the directing that I still can't remember the name of, or needing to pronounce it because I might butcher it worse than I already did to begin with. He didn't have that much experience storytelling, and knowing Square Enix, a company where one of the games is the most convoluting, the most complicated thing ever, that makes JoJo's Bizarre Adventure stories and world building a run for its money, try to make it as complicated as possible, but yet almost simple. Where you're a character who has issues, and there are other characters who have issues, and the main character himself might have his own issues that you need to help fix. We don't know how, and we don't know why, but we need to fix them for some reason. The game is... it's whack. It's wiggity-wiggity-whack. Oh my gosh, what the heck am I saying anymore? But, hey, if you still like the game, hey, that's you, my friend. That's you. I'm not telling you how to enjoy your games. I'm not telling you how to enjoy your life. And I'm not telling you how to play your games to begin with. But it's these things that you need to know when it comes to making a game. Now, granted, no, I haven't made any games myself. I
I mean, I have struggles, yes, but I never made a game before in my life either. However, when it comes to a platforming game, you think you would give something else different. You may also try to make things a form of je ne sais quoi. Balan did try to make that je ne sais quoi to win as well. But when it comes to games like, say, Mario 64, its simplicity could also mean something very big to it. And what I mean by that, its movement, as simple as it is, you could make it into the most complex thing someone could ever see, from like backwards jumping into the staircase, doing a backflip somersault while getting a star, while also pile driving Bowser in the head while throwing him off the his stage with a pixel of your hand on his tail. I mean, is that possible? I don't know, but it shows that a lot of people with, or like a lot of things, talented. Wise, I no, wait. I'm sorry, I'm kind of slurring my words and mixing them up in my head. It shows that the simplicity of a movement can actually mean something bigger down in the line and with practice and with more experience and more gameplay. Sorry, Balan. Like, this game should have worked and it should have stayed good. I mean, even a delay might have not helped the game out. But all I have to say is, sorry, Balan. While you were wandering around in your little wonder world, you ran yourself into a wonder wall. But a psss. Now, before I continue off, I just want to say thank you all for listening. I'm sorry if I messed anything up in this episode. It's been a while. Or I'm sorry that I haven't posted anything for so long. I will try to get things back in order next Sunday with other episodes and other videos. And I would also try to do some more research over for Age of Sigmar and for War Machines and Hordes over the summer if school doesn't start biting my ass again. But not only that, by the time of that, I highly recommend listening to my other episodes I made a while ago, because the support for you guys for each, listening to each episode that I made with like the sponsorships that Anchor is providing, we could slowly build more revenue here and there to help build the podcast. And like I said, college textbooks aren't expensive. That toilet needs to be flushed over there. And most importantly, I need to put food on the table and keep the lights on. Thank you and stay beautiful, all.